Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to the Risen Motherhood Podcast. I'm Emily Jensen, and my co-host Laura Whiffler will be joining me in just a minute to kind of have a really fun discussion today. We thought it would be interesting to not only talk about just kind of the state of digital media and the internet as it relates to motherhood content, but to make some predictions about the future. So as Risen Motherhood is ending its time of creating new content, we just wanted to talk a little bit about what might be filling in those gaps, what we see happening and changing online. And then we are going to end today's show with some very special predictions for one another and just talking about our friendship and what we hope to see for each other going forward. So before we jump into that, I wanted to remind you to mark your calendar for Saturday, April 5th, 2025. Because before Risen Motherhood sunsets, we are going out with a huge party. We are streaming it all live from Fort Worth, Texas, and we'd love it if you'd grab your mom pals, anyone you've enjoyed Risen Motherhood with, and join us via simulcast for a time of reflection on all that God has done through the ministry of Risen Motherhood. Tickets are free, so you just need to register at risenmotherhood.com/celebration party or head to the link in our show notes. Finally, if you haven't heard, our book, A Million Tiny Moments, Reflections to Refresh a Mom's Spirit, is officially here. This is a really exciting moment because Laura and I have really been working on establishing what we're calling a legacy collection of books for Risen Motherhood, where we've really tried to capture all the things that we've talked about and shared over the years. And so this particular book is the final piece of that puzzle. It is filled with short gospel-centered writings. It's a great reference book to have on hand when you need a quick reminder that what you're doing in the everyday moments matters. There's definitely a lot of categories in there, a lot of phrases that you can relate to. There's a ton of writings and one that you can find for just about any situation you are facing. So you can find A Million Tiny Moments anywhere books are sold. And if you already have it in hand, we hope it's an encouragement to you, and we'd love it if you would leave a rating and review through the link in our show notes. Okay, let's jump into today's show.
Okay, so let's jump into the content of like today's show and the farewell series. As we mentioned, there's a lot of things, little last things we want to say before we wrap up and before we go. And today we wanted to spend a little bit of time kind of like talking shop about the internet and motherhood and where do we think things are headed? Like, I think one question we've had, which this question sort of blows my mind and I kind of laugh at it, but it's like, what's the internet going to be like without Risen Motherhood? We're sure it's going to be fine.
Pretty much the same.
but I still think that's a question, right? Yeah. It's kind of like, hey, with the sunset, like, who am I supposed to follow? And like, how am I supposed to discern and like think through some of the other options that are available? And Laura and I just wanted to spend some time thinking through what do we think is next for motherhood content online?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that could be said here, but I think one of the things that is really exciting, but also does have a danger is how niche the content is and how you can find something for literally any problem you're facing.
I know. I don't know if I ever shared this with you, Laura, but at one point after you told me about one of your kiddos, like diagnoses for something, I had Googled it. And then the next day, whole bunch of Instagram reels about this specific thing.
It's listening.
And I was like, wow, like there's someone out there who is talking about this specific niche thing. So in some ways, right, that's so helpful that we no longer have to kind of weed through all the different resources that are out there. The algorithm is like, look, you searched it one time, here we go. And there is a creator for everything now. There is a mom who specializes in helping you walk through postpartum depression. There is a mom who specializes in, you know, strategies for your boy under the age of 5 with ADHD. You know, like there's something for everyone. And in some ways, right, like that's so, so helpful.
Yeah, it is. It's really awesome. But also that danger or like kind of the difficulty with it is that number one, I think it causes a lot of overwhelm or exhaustion to get it all perfectly. And you and I were talking recently again about one of my kids' many diagnoses. And I was like, I have tried it all. You know, mm-hmm. I have tried all the things all these experts say. And then I just find another expert who's like, but you haven't tried this, you know, and they come in and you're like, oh yeah. And it kind of gives you hope for a moment and you try it and it doesn't work. And it can just kind of feel like the depth of information is so deep and it's very overwhelming to try to absorb it all, to execute it all. And you start to feel like I've got to do so many things to mm-hmm. be a good mom. And I think too, it's really easy to get sucked in and like making, as you have these like really niche, helpful things, suddenly I think I find myself spending more time with an influencer or with their train of thought or the way that they're thinking than with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I think that danger comes in just using discernment and saying like, okay, I can read until the ends of the age about this topic because the well of influencers and the depth of information they provide is so helpful and good. So there's a positive, but also like, at what point am I placing my hope mm-hmm. in like what they're offering? And so I just think that can be really challenging. But it's also been such a gift to you and I, because like mm-hmm. you said, like, oh my word, my kid gets a diagnosis and I'm like, oh my word, there's someone out there. This really bizarre, you know, rare thing that my kid gets. I'm like, oh, okay. They're going to tell me what medicine to give.
Exactly. And, you know, but what I think is so interesting is this works kind of contrary to biblical wisdom and even like the way that we've tried to set up Risen Motherhood, which has been very principles focused. Yeah. And I think with biblical wisdom, it's about knowing the word of God, knowing who God is, knowing his commands and the things that shape who we should be in the world that we live in as we walk with Christ. And all of that trickles down to these situations that we're facing, these questions that we have. And I think what you find on Instagram or on TikTok or whatever is you get really focused in on the issue, and then you're sort of trying to like claw your way back up to biblical wisdom or sort of like get your head out of this one siloed issue. And I also think like with our friends and neighbors, as we get deeper and deeper and deeper into whatever the algorithm is feeding us, that becomes sort of our reality and like everything we know about motherhood. Well, guess what? Another mom is like living in her own algorithm driven reality in terms of the information she's getting, the way motherhood is being framed. You know, it's like, and our views don't get challenged very often. So I think it's just really important as we are in this increasingly niche internet culture that we continue to stay rooted in local communities, that we're broadening our view sometimes beyond our very, very specific concern.
Yeah. I think another blessing that we see is just how many visuals we have of motherhood, whether that's videos or pictures, vlogs or stories, whatever. There is a really great thing that we can see how someone is mothering. And I know I've talked to a lot of first-time Christians who have said, like, those have been a lifeline for me because I've learned how to discipline. I've learned how to structure my day. I see, like, the marker board that she uses to, like, make sure she's productive during the day. And so I know that, like, that is a huge blessing that we can see other types of motherhood, or like maybe, you know, you have a child with a special diagnosis and like you can learn how to do a feeding tube on the internet visually, like how this mother who loves her child is like executing those things. And so even like maybe you don't have a neighbor who's doing mm-hmm. that, but you can see another mom doing these things and it is genuinely helpful for you. But on the flip side, that danger, it's just that suddenly, you know, we're set up for like, okay, this is what good motherhood looks like. Mm-hmm. Like we have even more of a reason to like say that like this is the right way.
Yeah. And I think too, it can be very aesthetic. I know that there's some people who are kind of like anti-aesthetic and like, hey, this is my real gritty life. But then there's also like these presentations of sort of this idyllic version of motherhood that isn't realistic for every mom where they're at. And I think too, one of the things we wanted to come back to was the idea of kind of like have truths. And just, I think we have to be careful when we're watching all these mom vlogs and we're watching moms kind of living out their daily lives, that we're being critical thinkers, that we're being discerning, because a lot of times like someone may show themselves reading their Bible in the morning, or Christian may be on their bio, but the actual lifestyle they're touting and the thing that they're functionally putting their hope in and the truth they're functionally giving you this is the message, this is the means of salvation, is living life this certain way, it can start to distort and add to the gospel.
Yeah.
And that's real tricky. It's real subtle, but it's out there and it's becoming really prevalent.
Yeah. It's like we were studying in Revelation. We're using Jen Wilkins' study, the Revelation study. I feel like I'm being redundant. And she shares that Satan uses three different ways to harm the church. And we are not saying that mom bloggers out there are satanic or anything. So don't hear that.
But, not the takeaway.
Right. But the context is interesting because basically he's using these three different ways. Like it all boils down to three tricks up his sleeve of how he pulls us away from looking at the gospel and focusing on Christ. And the first is deception. So just distorting the truth. Like you said, Emily, those half-truths, we see a lot of those online. Seduction. This is very American, right? Making the way of the world look promising or appealing, or kind of this style of motherhood is the best style. And then lastly, persecution. So this is something that we don't face a ton of in the West, but it really persecution is any time that you face ill treatment or harm for your faith. So I think a lot of times we kind of go to the all the way of feeling like, hey, this is martyrs and things like that, which it absolutely is. But also, you know, as we share our faith online, there can be some difficulties and some persecution that we face. And so Satan's going to use all of those to stop you from being effective as a Christian. And it's good to be aware as we engage with these different type of motherhood platforms of like, hey, aren't these tactics being used to pull my eyes from Christ? And to recognize that like Satan's not all that smart. Like he's not all that new, but it's very effective on us as humans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think finally, just thinking through the micro mom influencer culture, and just again, we've already said this, that there's this blessing in being able to find a mom who has a smaller platform, who is probably able to be more personal, more intimate. She's able to take you along in her day through stories or through reels and things like that. And she can be relatively open because her following isn't as massive. I think that that's a change
yes.
from the internet or from social media 10 years ago
yes.
or 8 years ago or 5 years ago. We see what we're calling again, micro influencers.
So this is like a few thousand or like 10,000 followers,
yeah,
20,000 followers.
Yeah. 10,000 or less. And it can start to feel like this person is my friend.
Yeah.
And this is someone who can probably be pretty responsive to messages. This is somebody who can share a lot of their purchases and all of those different things. And in some ways, right, it's really helpful to get this sort of like up close and personal look. And it's almost like virtual discipleship in some ways.
Yeah, I think that this feels really good because you feel like you have access to someone. And like Emily said, they're very responsive. But sometimes I think that, again, we're getting this information and we're feeling like we have this kindred or this friendship with a person who actually doesn't know our real lives and doesn't know what we're really going through. And I'm always challenged by this thought of on something like Instagram stories, which are, I don't know, 15 seconds each. If you watched, you know, 10 of their stories that they post every single day, suddenly you're spending minutes every day with that person, which adds up to hours every year. And that may be more time than you spend with anyone else really outside, you know, your general family. And so just trying to look at like, how much time am I spending with this micro influencer and how am I modeling her? And like, does that follow Christ? And mm-hmm. it could be a follow me as I follow Christ situation. But a lot of times these micro influencers are kind of becoming popular because they're maybe using a little more black and white language. They're maybe mm-hmm. A little more divisive. They lean hard on one area or another. And so also that caution of just making sure that you're getting that balanced viewpoint on motherhood. And like we talked about earlier, that you're starting with at the point of wisdom and you're starting with scripture and trickling down instead of reversing that and trying to like crawl your way back up, because that's a lot harder to do.
Yeah. It's interesting too, because I think sometimes, you know, someone who's starting out and they're more of a micro influencer, you know, you and I have experienced this. There's a lot of sharing that happens. And then all of a sudden you hit a point either because of time and the quantity of content you've had to make, or because of the amount of followers and things gets overwhelming. And then that person undergoes a shift.
Yeah.
Or they get off the internet or, and there's a lot of burnout that happens. There's a lot of struggling to keep up. There's a lot of along the way sort of having to pivot and like change course. And I think if we've put someone on a pedestal and sort of felt like this is my friend and I'm watching them. And now they're having to make wise changes because they've grown too much, or they're realizing that certain types of content help them grow. And so now they've sort of like shifted their tune a little bit again, just being aware. That's how it works.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on from that. And let's talk about some of our predictions. As we exit the internet, at least in the way that we are currently on Rise of Motherhood, what are some of our predictions for what motherhood will look like online in the future?
Okay.
Emily?
I think, big shocker here, I think there's still going to be a remnant of Christian moms who are reasonable and wise. Who are
looking, thank goodness.
Who are looking for solid biblical content on motherhood. And the reality is, right, the remnant is never loud. And yet they are faithful and influential in their churches, in their communities, in their families. And so I'm just really grateful for those of you who are already doing this. And I just know, like, no matter where the internet goes or where social media goes, like, there's still going to be Christian moms who are doing humble, quiet, good work in their mothering. And they're radically impacting their families for the gospel for generations. Like, we're not going to hear these women's stories. On this side of heaven, these women might not make obvious overt cultural waves or be the ones with like all the blue check marks by their names, but like there's absolutely going to be moms that are still making major waves for the gospel.
I love that. So ditto. One of my predictions would just be that I think it is going to be easier than ever to grow big online, and big is relative. Ooh. Yeah. So we just got done talking about all the micro influencers, but I actually think that the internet is going to be more fractured, and there's going to be popular people on Substack, on X, on Instagram, on TikTok, on whatever platform. I think more and more platforms are going to rise up, and there's going to be like this famous Instagrammer. I mean, this is already happening to us, right? Someone's like, oh, that's a famous TikToker. And I'm like, no clue who that is.
Yeah.
But a lot of people know who that is. And it's just like we've seen the deconstruction of Hollywood over the years, where it has less and less power. I think that there's going to be less and less power given to like big social media influencers. And yet you can grow really big because I think people are figuring out how to trick the algorithm. Like, I've read several things that they're like, this is exactly how to beat the algorithm. And then I'm watching them do it. There's people that it's called build in public. And what that means is that you're going to build whatever. It might be a business, like a type of business that's tangible in your community, or it might be like an online business, but you're building in public. And so they're showing you like, here's how I beat the algorithm. And I'm telling you exactly how I did it. And they indeed are, you know, it's so interesting. So I just think it'll be easier to get big, but it'll also be like big in your little bubble.
Interesting. Okay. Another prediction that I have is that we're going to see a pendulum swing at some point. I don't necessarily have any like evidence for this other than I think whatever parents do, their kids tend to come in and kind of
go the other way.
Yeah. And so our generation, you know, millennials that kind of paved the way with social media and like children, right? We've shown a lot of photos and videos of our kids on social media. And I'm just wondering if like, as our children grow up, if there will be not only more legislation around children and what you can show online, and even legislation around if you're someone who is making an income off of social media, how your kids are participating in that. I wonder if there'll be more legislation on minimum age for children being able to be on social media, not just like their faces, but then also as users. And then also if our children will grow up and feel like, absolutely not, I'm not putting my kids online because I had my face online and I don't want that for my kids.
And or I think you'll see more people just choosing to not be on social media.
I read somewhere, have you ever heard the word chuggy?
I've heard it. I couldn't tell you what it means.
Okay. You look that up later. Chuggy is kind of like a tacky old person thing.
Oh, okay. I was going to say fancy.
We're probably chuggy.
Oh, no.
bougie is like fancy.
Bougie. Yeah, I know that word.
I may not even be pronouncing it right. This is how out of touch I am.
Oh, please.
But I read somewhere that younger people are starting to say it's chuggy when moms put pictures of their kids online.
Really?
Like, it's kind of just like, ugh, you know?
Okay.
I don't know if that's true. I read that like one place, but...
That's funny. I mean, I don't love like anything I do being called chuggy, apparently, but okay. Well, I think I totally agree with you. I think we're going to see big, big, big changes with kids in the next 10 to 15 years on social media, like in every way, shape, and form. We're going to see a lot of big changes and they're going to be good ones. I'm actually really happy about them. Okay, I think we're going to see a return from publishers towards good, solid, true writers rather than just grabbing the next big shot on social media. So we saw about 10, maybe 12 years of most big social media people getting book deals. It was like super common. It was sort of like, hey, you have a few 100,000 followers, like when's your book coming out? And what I think publishers saw was those books don't sell. They have like a big opening day and then they have no legs long-term. And people were tired of not reading great quality books. And I think the people have spoken. And publishers are seeing that, hey, we want to have great writers, even if they have a smaller following. We want to cultivate the writer themselves. And so I'm thankful. I think that's a really, really good change, that just because you have a big following doesn't mean you can land a book deal anymore. And it gives hope for those people who are really doing the hard work of learning the craft of writing and becoming better and better and really saying, like, I mean, I was reading this Substack article the other day, and she was talking about how basically everybody on Instagram, you know, writer is in their bio because they have a Substack. And it's like, she's like, pulling together a bunch of links for people or what you wore that day does not make you a writer. And that might hurt someone's feelings. I'm sorry out there. But I thought that was helpful just because, like, there is a difference between being a professional writer. And I mean, that took us years to own, you and I, Emily.
Yeah.
We had published books and we're still like, are we writers? You know? And so I just think we're going to see like a little bit more honor to the craft of writing. And I'm excited about that.
Okay. I think, you know, this is something we've already talked about a little bit, but I think we're going to be a little bit surprised as some of the motherhood content ages and maybe like our favorite of the moment influencer hits their 40s or their kids get older. And you and I know firsthand, like, it's really exhausting to feed the content machine for more to 3 to 5 years. Especially after 5 years, we see a lot of women like needing to take big breaks, needing to really shift the way that they create things, or they have to get a team around them. Like after some period of time, this sort of like organic.
It's fatiguing. Yeah. It's so fatiguing.
Like this thing that you sort of could do in your spare time becomes like really, really unmanageable and difficult. It's hard to keep reinventing yourself, right? Of like, how can I keep myself fresh and relevant and exciting? And so I do think like, hey, whoever's in their mid-20s now to mid-30s and they have young children and they're keeping up with the trends and they're, you know, doing all the things that are fun and interesting, it'll be really interesting to see in 5 or 10 years, like, who is still in the game, and or if another completely different crop of people sort of comes up. And you know, it's just that's what we've seen happen in the past. And it will just be interesting to see that happen again.
Yeah, I think that this career is not crazy sustainable. Mm-hmm. Like you have to, like you said, bring a team around you, or you have to iterate and innovate on what you're doing.
It hits different when your kids are middle schoolers versus 3-year-olds.
Absolutely. And just the energy levels you can feel towards this type of content can really ebb and flow. And I even think just like, even if you're not talking about motherhood, like just the internet, like you said, feeding the content machine, it is really, really exhausting. And I think, you know, we don't necessarily have the science to back this up yet, but taking into account the science for like the dopamine hits and the addiction, just like the way it makes you feel weary, and the constant like inputs. I just think there's something interesting to that and like people's ability to be sustainable on these platforms. I don't know what's there. Like, I kind of feel like, oh, it's a game for the youth. You know, it's a game for those who are young, like, you know, kind of like sports where it's like, you got to be young. You hit 35, like you're out of, you're too old, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily physical, but there's an element of just like that energy and drive.
Fearlessness.
With, yeah. And how fast everything's moves. You get older and you're kind of like, I just don't want to move so fast.
I know.
You know, like I want to do good work, but like slower pace, please. And so that's where like things like blogging or books come into play because, and you're also thinking a little more about your legacy, like what we're doing. I think there's an element of you're starting to think of like, what's going to last? And all this social media content that you are just like putting so much into is gone within 24 hours.
It just sort of gets buried.
It does.
Yeah.
And unless you're able, like us, we put a lot of our work into a million tiny moments. And I feel like that's very, very rare that we were able to like take out some of this work that we did over the years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And so I think just your energy start changing towards what, or your desires start changing towards what you want to put your energy to.
Mm. Yeah. What about AI?
Okay, yeah, that's one of mine. Yes. I don't know what AI is going to do.
AI is going to be mommy vlogging now.
We'll learn from AI how to be a mom. Oh, man. I am not quite sure what AI. I think that the internet, no matter what, is going to become way more immersive. Like with augmented virtual reality, I think moms are going to be making purchasing decisions way differently. Mm-hmm. I think like pretty soon you'll feel like you're in a mom's living room. You're like there with her trying on clothes. Like there, that tech is there and it's very close to us being able to access as consumers. So I think it's going to make it even harder. Like some of the things that we've been talking about is like make those pulls and tendencies towards consumerism even harder. And I think AI, I mean, we'll definitely like already, I don't know if you found this, but like if I just do a Google search and it's like how to cook this, there's an AI summary, right? So already it's affecting my motherhood just in the little ways of it's teaching me how to cook.
And it gave you the recipes sort of it wanted to give you, right? Like, I guess if you extrapolate that onto like looking for you're asking a question about a parenting issue.
Yeah.
And AI
it will know your bents. Like, oh, you're a gentle parent or you're more of an authoritarian parent.
Again, like reinforcing things and then also like thinking for you in some ways, which could be really helpful in some things and can be very terrifying in other things. I wonder too, with things like products, you know, again, AI like giving you something so deeply specific that it can continue to feel like, oh, this is exactly what I was looking for. This is going to make my life better.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think I'm concerned about the images, AI images. You know, we've already seen big publishing houses using AI images for motherhood.
And of like, you mean images of moms that look like real moms, but it's not real moms.
Right. Yeah. They're virtual. And yet you think that's a real mom somewhere that was a photo was taken of. And actually that's not at all. And so you just can create anything now. Mm-hmm. Like if we thought motherhood was unattainable before by having real pictures of that are posed and photo shoots and all that stuff, imagine now a computer putting together a home and putting together a whole world of a mom that has unlimited imagination and power. Like, okay, it is limited. It's not God, but like an element of far more ability than any human could put together. Like that is concerning to me of what kind of pressure that's going to put on moms. Just knowing how visual we are. I don't know.
Yeah. Goodness. It's hard to think about. We went from moms just really being able to see and learn from the neighbors and the women they encountered in their community or in their workplace to social media, where now you're encountering hundreds or maybe thousands of images of moms throughout the week that are doing different things, to AI being able to compile into one image, you know, sort of this version of millions, bajillions of pieces of data that come together. So it's just, it's a lot. It's a lot. And it's why we've got to stay rooted in the gospel and focus on the Lord.
Okay. Let's talk about predictions for us post-risen motherhood as we wrap up here. We just thought this would be kind of fun and interesting to kind of think through what's in store for Laura or what's in store for Emily from the app. So I'm going to do predictions for Emily. Emily's going to do predictions for me. Emily, you can start.
Oh, okay. I love it. I love it. Okay. Here's what I think. This is exciting to me. Laura, I think you're going to start another big influential organization.
Oh, I don't know.
Sustainable. influential organization. So I'm looking at you, Kidlit Lab. I think once you don't have RM to oversee, you know, there's a lot that we're still in the weeds with right now and responsible for. I think you're going to be full steam ahead. You're going to like hire a team. You're going to blow that thing up big and lots of blue sky.
We'll see.
Right? Like lots of blue sky.
Lots of sky.
If it's not Kidlit Lab, I think you will start many, many businesses, and I think you just are always like brimming over with ideas and like seeing gap in the market and being like, okay, this is the way to solve that. And even if not every single one of them becomes its own like full-fledged business, you pass off those ideas to other people and they make them happen.
I do love doing that.
So I think we'll see that. I definitely think you're going to emerge as like an up-and-coming Christian poet and we'll publish a poetry book that's going to be industry shaping.
Okay, I've decided this is completely awkward.
This is very awkward.
This is so awkward.
Sorry.
Oh, golly.
I'll feel it in just a second.
Yeah.
But like, I just think that your poetry work is going to shape the types of books that women are reading. There you go. Well, I think you're going to publish more children's books.
Definitely.
That's going to happen. Yeah. People may not know this, but I think you're going to continue to be a big, like, behind the scenes influence on Christian thought leaders. Like, you've seen Hamilton. Mm-hmm. You're like in the room where it happens.
The room where it happens.
I feel like you're like often in the room where it happens.
Oh my word.
Like you're a connector and you know, I'll hear about something and it was like, Laura was there. Like you always, you can give me like a first hand account of what was said and like what happened. So I think you'll keep making like ripples and helping shape what's next in like the publishing world and the Christian conference world, Christian organizations. Yeah, I think I know over the years I've heard you talk about like your burden for younger Christian content creators. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, the Lord hasn't laid that on my heart in the same way. And so I think that that's like a special burden that
that's
you have.
That's funny. Do you even have a heart?
I don't, do I even have a heart?
Just kidding. You have other things.
And so I think that's something that, you know, it's like usually when God puts something like that on our heart, it becomes sort of a calling that we have. And so I'm excited to see you mentor and pass the baton and kind of like help, I don't know, pay forward like what has been given to us, which is just a lot of help and support from people who are 10 to 20 years beyond where we're at. Yeah, I think I'm going to see your influence on Instagram grow. Oh, I already said this, 50 or more business and book ideas.
That's funny. That's a specific number. I love it.
Yeah, I think I'm just really excited to watch you fly. I mean, I know I think something that's been hard at Risen Motherhood over the years is that like it has had real clear boundaries, and we have like actively fought off growth. Like we've fought off expansion. We have said no to a ton. We have really tried to put up real specific guardrails and like, this is exactly what Risen Motherhood does. And I know that the way your brain works and the way you're gifted is to think of possibilities and to expand and to dream and to pivot and to make new things and to change. And so I'm excited for you to be like, in a good way, like free of that and be able to just go wherever you are led to go. And I'll be cheering you on. Aww. And I'll be participating where I'm invited and where I can.
Where there are clear boundaries.
Amen.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, very awkward, but Laura's turn for Emily. So tables are turned.
Okay.
So I think, first off, right away, you're going to sherm it.
Oh, I can't wait to sherm it.
Sherm it means slightly hermit.
Slightly hermit.
Because you can't take a break completely because you always say like, I'm going to take a break. And then you're like, and then I wrote this over here. Uh-huh. You know, this quietly, I'm doing this behind the scenes. And you're always sort of engaging in something. And you and I both will never stop writing. Like,
can't help myself.
Yeah. We both tell our husbands, if we don't write, we die. That's just the rule. So I think you're going to sherm it. And then I think, you still have things you're going to be doing. I know you're going to be releasing an awesome worship booklet at TGC 26.
I think so.
Right, TGC W 26, I should say. That is incredible. I've read the whole thing, every word, and it is really, really good. So highly recommend you guys grab that book next year. I know that you're going to be a contributor to the new Crossway Women's Bible on the Book of Mark. So definitely when that thing comes out, pick it up, guys. And when you read the Book of Mark, you'll see Emily's entries. I think that you are going to do really awesome things with YA or middle grade fiction. Ooh. I have read most of Emily's draft for her middle grade fiction book, and I haven't read it all because
I have more.
I haven't shared with you yet. I'm like dying. Every time she gives me like a little bit, and then it's like, just kills me because I'm on the edge of my seat of what's happening. But what I think is so great about the style of writing that Emily does is not only is it really well done, it's very insightful, it also says something. Mm-hmm. I think that you can get a lot of middle grade or YA that are just fluff. Like there's no real message behind it. And it's not overtly Christian, but let's just make that clear. It's not overtly Christian, but the themes that you are weaving into this book are special. And they're not overt, but they are powerful. And they're going to do something, I think, for both kids and adults who read that book. And I can't wait for that to come out. And I hope you write more of them. I hope it's a trilogy. Ooh. We'll see. Right now, she doesn't have plans, right? It's not a trilogy. Like, we're
non-committal.
We're playing with the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's playing with it. I'm just here as a spectator. I'm just an encourager. Okay. So, but really, the biggest thing I predict is that you're going to be a big-time Bible teacher.
Oh, my.
And I think that you are going to draw some really incredible connections in the Bible for people. You're going to feel really weird about it.
Feel real weird. Sitting here listening to this right now.
Awkward, I told you. You have to literally listen to all these affirmations. But I think that you have always had a way of seeing things that other people don't and drawing connections that are rare and yet special. And I think that you're going to bring those into Bible studies. And I think you're going to be a main stage speaker.
Oh my.
Someday down the road, you are going to do it. You're going to get reps under your belt.
Okay.
And I think the Bible study writing is going to be no problem. It's just going to be gaining that confidence and being an incredible teacher. But I think that you have everything in you to do that. And you're going to really change people's thoughts on how they think about God. I think you're going to make some connections and just different ways of studying the Bible and drawing things to light that people are going to be blessed by for their whole lives. I can't wait until I do Emily's Bible study at our church.
No pressure.
And there's like 250 women all doing it together.
Oh my goodness.
It's going to be so fun. I think that you're going to be someone people look to consistently as a steady, scripture-saturated influence that knows and loves God more than anything. And you'll be someone who is known for not being distracted by the lure of fame or of stages, but you'll be a woman that people talk about as that is a woman who loves Jesus. And she is more like Christ every day, and she is somebody that I want to be like. I want to follow her because she loves God. You know, those people that you just say are like, they just drip Jesus. I think that is you today, and I think it's going to just become more and more evident to the public as time goes on. I think you're going to keep producing a great monthly newsletter, but that is literally about as much as you'll ever let people into your lives. And I will still respect that deeply forever and always.
Sorry, friends.
I know, right? I think you're going to keep writing great nonfiction books. I think one will be about grief at some point, or maybe disability, or maybe grief with a disability focus. I don't know.
Interesting.
I think that you will keep being a publisher's dream client. Mm-hmm. So somebody who is a wildly good writer that needs very little editing, though always welcomes it, and someone who does exactly what she promises. So if you are a publisher listening to this, you should pick Emily up. She really is a dream client.
After she's done Shermaning.
Yeah, after she's done Shermaning. And you may have to help her with marketing. That's it. But
yeah,
don't worry.
You have to make
she
me
has
market.
Me behind the scenes. I will keep her on the straight and narrow for that. So, and the last few things, I think that you are always going to be someone who keeps a pulse on Christian news and stories. Mm-hmm. And you will kind of know, like, you just have a good sniffer, and you're going to still be somebody who's like, you can spot a problem a mile away, and you're going to keep protecting both, I think, your career and our friend's career that we're involved in, and mine. And I'm so thankful to have you to keep me safe. And I think you'll return to podcasting.
Ooh.
I don't know what topic, but I do think that there is a future of podcasting for you. So those are my predictions. And I think we'll be friends forever.
Of course. Friends forever. I'm excited because we're going to get to hang out. Like, we were talking the other day about how we don't go on walks with each other. Like, we both have other friends that we walk with, and we're going to have to, like,
I know.
Find ways.
Yeah.
Because this naturally has us talking all the time, and then we talk about personal things.
Yeah.
But it'll be fun to figure out, like, what our friendship rhythm is outside of Risen
Who
Motherhood.
Who are we without Risen Motherhood? I hadn't even thought of that.
I'll take you on a walk and tell you my next podcast idea.
Okay, good.
I have one.
Oh, my word.
I'm not doing it. Don't worry. I have no time.
This will be one we pass off.
Ready?
Pass
it's off the good called idea. Just Curious with Emily A. Jensen.
Okay. And what's it about?
It's about just anything I'm curious about.
Why wouldn't you do it?
I don't know. I got a Shermit.
Okay, internet, we need to make her do this because it will be so helpful. So everyone go for Just Curious.
Oh my goodness.
Let's tell Emily we want to hear it.
But look at my growth that I just shared that on a podcast.
I'm actually shocked. You guys, do you know how personal
we're going to delete this?
We're absolutely not. They don't care if you do it or you don't. They want you to, but
all in fun.
Our community is the most supportive ever.
No promises on any of those predictions coming
That's
true,
funny.
But there's our fun.
Yeah.
Fun for the day.
Okay. Thanks for listening, friends.
Sending this voice note to say a big thank you for the last 7 years I've been following Risen Motherhood. I've listened to your podcast today and been really encouraged by it. Obviously sad that the podcast won't be there in a couple of years' time, but overwhelmingly thankful. I'm based in the UK and first started listening to Risen Motherhood when my eldest was 2 and I had an 8-month-old. I was returning to paid work and was juggling a medical career and my husband's medical career at the time. And God led us to go to British Columbia, and then we moved back to the UK, to Liverpool. So now I've got an 8 and 6 year old, and I can be really thankful that God's led us to gospel centre communities and churches in both our moves. But listening to your podcast has been a habit that I've got into, and it's been really, really encouraging and helped me keep on focusing and praying and considering how I can best live to serve Jesus. So I want to say a big thank you for the Ministry of Prison Motherhood.
Prison Motherhood will cease producing new content in April 2025, but all content from the ministry will be available through April 2026. To all of the donors who have made this ministry possible over the years, we are so thankful for your support. For more information, visit risenmotherhood.com.